Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Prep Rally, a production of the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. We're a webcast and a podcast, so thanks for tuning in. However you're consuming this, it's Wednesday, July 20th. Brad Locke here with you, along with Gene Phelps, and you'll notice another face over there if you're watching, and soon you'll hear his voice, Blake Morgan, new addition to the staff covering high school sports for us. So, Blake, welcome to the big show.
I'm excited to be here.
Blake is a Memphis native, recently graduated from the University of Tennessee, did attend Mississippi State for a while, Blake.
Yeah, I did.
But you transferred.
I did transfer, yeah.
Okay. So, why, Blake? Tell us. You don't have to tell us. But Blake is now here on staff, and along with Gene, getting ready for football season coming up. And so, Blake, you're getting your feet wet pretty well, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Diving right into anything and everything Tupelo High School sports got to offer.
Okay. And of course, we cover, like, how many schools do we cover, Gene?
60?
Yeah, 50.
50. Wow. Yeah. So you've got a lot to catch up on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've got a lot of storylines to learn quickly.
Yeah, I've been in that chair. It's quite the challenge to do that. And speaking of football, that's what we're going to talk about today, because there's nothing going on except getting ready for football. It's that time of year. And before we get going, I want to remind you that you can follow the show on Twitter at DJournalPreps, and you can listen to us a variety of ways. The podcast, again, it's a webcast that airs about 11 o'clock every Wednesday morning, and then the podcast version drops later in the day, which can be accessed for free via iTunes or your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Okay. So, Gene, let's talk about Shannon football, because that's what you wrote about last week.
Oh, absolutely.
You've written a couple of stories on Shannon football. They were at a 7-on-7 national tournament in Hoover, Alabama last weekend, and you also had a story, we'll get to that in a minute, about the transfers. But first, the 7-on-7 national tournament, 40-something teams. You know, they didn't win it, but had a respectable showing, wouldn't you say?
You know, Shannon, you know, 7-on-7 is all about skill, and Shannon can match anybody athletically with the skill players. And the Red Raiders went and qualified. They went down to New Orleans and played against a lot of New Orleans teams down there in the 7-on-7 tournament that was held in Metairie at the Saints training camp. And they finished in the Elite Eight. They didn't know if that would qualify them to go to this national tournament in Hoover, Alabama. But they got a call. Coach Daryl Carter did. And they were excited about going. Had an opportunity to go over and, you know, display their talents again. And, you know, 7-on-7 helps with timing. Shannon's got a sophomore quarterback, and they've got some new receivers, and just a good opportunity, Carter said, to get a little better in shape, work more on routes, work more on, you know, your secondary and your calls and stuff there. And they represented pretty well. They finished like with a 3-5 record. Two of those losses were two of the top teams in Alabama. Everybody's heard of Hoover and Spain Park.
Yeah.
High school. Shannon hung with them in every game. There are a couple of questionable calls. Don't want to sound like a homer here, but, you know, both games could have gone either way with a call for Shannon that maybe they didn't get. But Shannon really played really well over there despite some losses. I guess they were a little more pumped up playing the bigger teams, the 7A teams. They have 7A in Alabama. That's kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Big games against Hoover and Spain Park, and eventually got eliminated by McGill Tulin, which came into the tournament, I think, the number 2 or number 3 seed out of Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
Catholic school down there, and they were really loaded with talent. They beat Shannon 26-8.
Wow.
So,
but still, a good showing and a good thing for this team to help get ready for the season. Preseason camp will be starting up within the next couple of weeks, I guess, for these teams. Daryl Carter, the head coach, last year, 6-5?
They made the playoffs, lost in the first round. Daryl's kind of had some bad luck from a standpoint of, and I won't say bad luck, but he's trying to get the players that are sold on the program and want to be serious about playing football. He's had some kids transfer and move out on him.
Sure.
Looks like he's got a little help. He's got some kids that are coming his way now.
That's right. Got some transfers coming in that you wrote about earlier this week, Gene. You got Keegan Huddleston, a running back. You got Chris Shannon, a wide receiver. Both former Tupelo players, and they were significant contributors last year. And then you got Cameron Buck, a kid from up around Memphis, a receiver, defensive back. Let's talk about Huddleston and Shannon first of all. Again, they played key roles in Trent Hammond's offense last year.
They did, you know, and Tupelo distributes the ball around. And that's just what they do. And they've got four or five running backs. Probably can play now even without Huddleston, you know, and Huddleston led them in rushing last year, 577 yards, had some big runs, scored some big touchdowns. But he's from Shannon. I believe his mom's in the Tupelo system as a teacher. So he was going to Tupelo, and he said he just wanted to come back and play for Shannon, which is home. Play on the field that his Uncle Fuzzy, a lot of Ole Miss fans remember Fuzzy Huddleston and Fred so that was kind of his motivation, and I guess maybe to be the marquee back at Shannon, in which he has the ability and talent to be.
And then Chris Shannon, the wide receiver, also
right?
Tupelo.
Yeah,
that's some good numbers.
Yeah,
last
he
year.
Did, and I think he caught. 14 pass receptions, 297 yards, and three touchdowns. Again, Tupelo didn't throw the ball a lot last year, and they spread the ball around again. But
according to my math, that's a good 20-plus yards a catch.
It is.
Big play guy.
And he played big in the 7-on-7 tournament. He's a really talented player. His play and Huddleston's play, their additions, they've got the sophomore quarterback, who I didn't mention earlier, Jordan Gilliland. Mm-hmm. Who's a left-hander, actually started against Tupelo in the third game of the season and was Shannon's starting quarterback for the most part the rest of the season.
Right.
He's back. He's a very talented young man. And I kind of like Shannon to contend in 1-4A.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the odds of them winning the division this year. Do we have some other teams that might be a little bit down, too, that would help?
Well, I think everybody's starting. You know, Amory's looking to rebuild, got a new coach. Corinth lost a lot of players, got a new coach. Pontotoc's going to be good again, but they're still building. Carter's trying to get that program going over there.
Sure.
His son's a quarterback, and they're going to be solid. But, you know, Shannon's got playmakers.
Yeah.
They really do. I didn't have an opportunity to talk with him about what he's got up front at all.
That's a big part.
Shannon can hang with Hoover and Spain Park in 7-on-7. They certainly couldn't match up with them in a full-fledged football game.
Right,
11-on-11, because they just don't have the people up front.
Wanted to mention before we move on, Cameron Buck, kid from Memphis, actually had Shannon connections, right?
He did. He grew up, moved after the fifth grade. Somehow the family – it's moved back down to Shannon, and he said he knew a lot of the kids here, and he was looking forward to playing with them. He's a really talented player. He made a lot of big plays. He plays safety on defense. He's also in a lot of short yardage and goal line situations. He comes in as a fourth or a fifth receiver.
Yeah.
Made a couple of big catches, touchdown catch, a two-point conversion catch in some of the 7-on-7 games that I witnessed. I mean, he's a big play guy, great hands. Not tall, probably 5'9", 5'10", pushing it.
Sure.
But very talented athlete and just adds to that Shannon's athleticism. Daryl Carter's expecting – he thinks this might be the team.
Yeah, well,
it really gets it going.
They got an opportunity, it looks like, this year, certainly. And looking ahead beyond Shannon, Gene, we got the football tab that we're working on. The special football section comes out next month. And in working on that, of course, you're talking to coaches about some of the top players in the area who's going to be good, guys that are coming back that we know are good, maybe some guys that'll rise up and make a name for themselves. So let's just kind of run through a few of these guys. Certainly not a comprehensive list, Gene, but
no.
Some of the top players that people probably need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, I think everybody from last year knows about Jay Lee Adams.
Yes.
The running back from Kossuth. He's about 5'9", 215. Got pretty good vision from watching not tape on him, but video. Good speed.
Yeah.
Guy rushed for 2,400 yards, has the state record with 543 or 544 yards. I can't remember. I'll have to ask Lee Smith, of the Corinthian, scored 8 touchdowns in a game against Corinth.
Yep.
Which Corinth blessed with a lot of athletes last year.
Yeah, so, that's impressive.
Jaylee's a fine player, a really nice kid. I expect him to have another great year. Got another run back, Zay Cullens from North Pontotoc.
Very good,
I mean, 2,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, caught 14 passes, 241 yards. I mean, the guy's playing defense. He's a DB, too. Had 62 tackles and 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
So he's on the field. I would be tired. I don't think I could rush for 2,200 yards.
You don't think so, Jim?
And then I'd probably take every snap on defense. But Cullens supposedly is getting some looks from a lot of the smaller D1 schools.
Okay.
And he's certainly a talented athlete. Again, I get to watch him on highlight videos because normally I'm covering Tupelo High, which means all I can do is read about these guys and watch videos on the internet. Willie Gay, I think everybody knows about Willie Gay in Starkville, linebacker. I believe he's committed to Ole Miss. So that says, I looked at a lot of sites, he's a hard commitment, whatever that means. I don't think you're a hard commitment until you sign the dotted line on signing day. But, Mississippi State, Alabama, Miami, Texas A&M are all shown interest. Some of them made offers, so he can go just about wherever he wants to go. Montario Hunt, from Walnut, linebacker, running back, wide receiver, broke his leg in the first game last year for Walnut and didn't play.
Yeah.
But he's committed to Mississippi State, and he's done a lot of great things at Walnut. He's a super talented player. Hopefully he can make it out of the first game, make it through 11 or 12 games this year without getting hurt. Jet Johnson, linebacker, who had a great year. Last year as a sophomore, led Tupelo in tackles, had like 155 tackles, 6'3", 220, former quarterback.
Yep.
Had an outstanding year. I think Jet could be, with some work, could become a D1 talent.
Okay.
You've got Marcus Murphy, who is an all-around guy.
Oh, yeah.
He plays running back, quarterback, wide receiver, DB. Read the other day that they've got somebody who transferred in, came in, that could play quarterback, which will allow him to do a lot of other things.
Yeah. So, kind of your prototypical West Point athlete. They've had a lot of those guys over the years that can do multiple things.
This guy is 6'1", 180. He's already committed to state, but he will do he'll do everything. I don't think he kicks or anything like that, but he sells programs before the game. Devin Rocket, I love that name.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oxford, a defensive back. He's committed to Ole Miss. The thing that impressed me is he had 20 pass deflections last year.
Wow.
That's impressive. He's quick. I saw him in the championship game last year play. He made some big plays in that game. Jimmy Ties, Baldwin. Mm-hmm. Baldwin's a small school, but Jimmy's 6'1", 340. And he
340.
He is a disruptor on that defensive line. And he had 75 solo tackles last year.
Goodness.
He's the real deal on the 2A level. I don't know how that translates to D1, but he'll certainly be a JUCO guy.
Yeah.
And he'll be a force wherever he goes. And then you got Jonta Walker from down in Houston. He's a nose guard, weighs about 200 pounds. I mean, this guy had 19 sacks last year, 16 quarterback hurries.
Wow.
24 tackles for losses for the Houston Hilltoppers.
And plays fullback too some, huh?
Does play fullback some, but he makes his living playing nose guard. I haven't seen him play, but from what I've read about him and some of the pictures I've seen, action pictures from a game, reminds me of a kid named Gerald Bayless that used to play at Southern Miss, who was about that size, around the 200 range, and was a nose guard. And I watched him play. I was covering Hattiesburg High one year, and they were playing Moss Point. Gerald was nose guard from Moss Point. He was tackling the Hattiesburg quarterback before he could get out from under center.
Jeez.
Just boom, firing across. He was impossible to block. And he took that game to Southern Miss and had a really good college career doing essentially the same thing
on
a D1 level.
Wow.
So John Tawalker is certainly a player to watch.
All right. So that's a pretty good list to start with, Gene. And sure we'll have more on some of these guys in the special football edition, preview edition we have coming out next month in your daily journal. I guess that's coming along. You guys getting some work done?
We are. You know, it's coaching convention week this week, of course. A lot of coaches are down in the Jackson area going to the conventions down there. But the next couple of weeks, we're going to be very busy calling a lot of coaches, going to see a lot of coaches and talking with players.
Yeah.
And thank goodness we have a lot of people that are helping us out from all our weekly papers, and we couldn't do it without them.
Right.
I remember years gone by, it used to be two or three of us had to do all the stories, and
that's hard.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Blake, before we get out of here, you know, you're a fresh-faced college grad.
Yeah.
Why in heaven's name did you want to get in the newspaper business? No. just kidding. No, but what did draw you to covering high school sports? That's something I did early on as well, and it's just a lot of fun, for one thing.
Well, I mean, I've been stringing for the Starkville Daily News and for the Knoxville News Sentinel the last few years covering high school games, and I just really enjoyed it. And then I had a few older people in Knoxville that I talked to before I took this job,
right.
And they were like, you know, I mean, go enjoy writing features about 17-year-olds before, you know, you try to jump into a college beat or something and have coaches yell at you for asking about injuries and things
been there.
Right. So, you know, enjoy the people before they get too big and whatnot. And, you know, enjoy the realness of high school football.
Right. Exactly. I've covered high schools and colleges. Most people know I covered Mississippi State for 5 years, and it was great learning experience and a lot of fun at times, but if I had to go back to one of the two, I'd go back covering high schools. Yeah, definitely. So anyway, welcome Blake Morgan in to the team here at the Journal. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, it's a webcast and a podcast, and we have the webcast about 11 a.m. every Wednesday. If you miss it, just want to watch the replay, we'll have it here at djournal.com. The podcast version is available on Wednesday afternoons on iTunes, your podcast app, or at prepyourally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Gene's on Twitter at Gene Phillips. Blake, your Twitter?
Blake Morgan DJ.
Okay, so you got to change. Good deal. At Blake Morgan DJ. That's it, everybody. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week to probably talk more football, I'm sure. So until then, have a good week.